Welcome to the latest Pocket Gamer audio podcast. I'm Rob Hearn, your host. With me today are Fraser McInnes.
Guten Tag.
And back from the New World, Chris James.
Good day. Oh no, not a new word. Have a nice day.
Have a nice day. Did you have a nice day or a week?
I had a great time actually. I was out in Seattle at Casual Connect last week. I was chairing a mobile day. So it's good. I slept an average of 3 hours a night, which I think actually, because I'm feeling quite fresh, is the best way to avoid jet lag. The only slight downside is when you're out there, you feel like absolute shit every day. So you know, swings and roundabouts. But I had a great time.
I have to say, I think Rob and I both feel really, really sorry for you having to go out to Seattle and spend time drinking in free bars and, you know,
hanging around with Fraser.
Hanging around, yeah.
Yeah, I was there. Seattle, are you listening? Exactly. Yes, we should have done a special from. But no, it was very interesting. A very very good conference and really really fascinating. About the mobile and the iPhone space and the casual game space generally. It's the future, apparently.
Let's crack on with news, shall we? I won't bother asking how you are, Fraser. But I do know that you had a plumbing incident.
The only answer I could give you would be just desperately negative and depressing, so just leave it out.
I know, yeah. It's just a broken pipe and that's about it.
To compliment a broken man with a broken spirit.
Okay, right. So we've got a few things. Few things have happened this week. Just today, Resident Evil 4 went live on the App Store. So that's looking good. It's not the whole game, as we speculated last week. It's just a chunk of it, or something new. But we're reviewing it today, so that people listening to this will already presumably have read the review, because this will be going live tomorrow. So care to guess what it's going to get? Do we want to make?
We guess
some predictions.
Yeah, you go.
I reckon four.
Four. Did you play the original?
Four. Eight. Then I reckon eight. Eight.
I'm gonna go. Who's reviewing it?
Not that doesn't make a difference. The score?
Not that that should make a difference. No,
it does make a difference, but you know, that's just really email to ask him what he's giving it. Yeah. He's just asking who should I am.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. No, it's gonna. I'm gonna go with Chris's eight there. I think that's a pretty good guess.
Okay,
if it gets a 9, then I'll be very impressed, in fact.
Yeah, I'm going for 7. I think it's going to get a 7. That's my prediction. We'll see. We'll see who's right tomorrow. So that's out anyway. Yeah, Resident Evil 4. Looks quite good. There's a video up on the site of Spanner and his Kung Fu fingers playing it. It looks very good. The other game to have come out since we last did a podcast was, of course, Monkey Island, the LucasArts adventure from 1990, which we reviewed as well and gave 10 out of 10. Which is the highest possible score. Mathematicians will no doubt have realised.
Mathematicians have confirmed 10 out of 10 is the highest you can get out of 10.
You do not need to double check. We've had a mathematician in the office. He's made sure 10 is definitely the highest that you can get out of 10.
Definitely. Yeah. So a game from the 1990s, and we just reviewed it yesterday. I mean, what's going on, Rob? I mean, really?
It took me a while. I had a hell of a lot of stuff in my inbox. I had to buy an Amiga A500 from eBay to play it on as well. That was the best.
Oh, I've got one of those. My parents just I haven't got one of those. My parents just threw it out. My parents just moved house, and they threw out loads of stuff. And my dad rang me up and goes, "Oh, we're just cleaning out the house. Do you want any of that?" I said, "Oh, only the computers and the papers." "Oh, that's on the fire. Is there anything else you want?" Yeah. Well, I want you to ring me before you chuck all my stuff away, please.
Yeah. So, or burn your stuff even. That's
almost. Well, no, burn. He got very into burning. My father did. And the irony is that he owns a my parents have just moved. He owns a petrol station, so they just moved away from a petrol station. He's out the back behind the station, burning things. Some of which occasionally there'd be like a canister in there which would explode, and it really was an interesting thing. I don't know whether there was an insurance claim involved, but it seems a little dicey.
It does.
Sorry, that was I segued away. Unless you can get a petrol-related things coming with Rob.
I'm just looking. What have we got coming? Petrol? It's not really. It's not going to fly. Petrol.
Smoke on the water? Petrol
yeah.
Harbour.
All right. Okay. Go on then. Hit us with it.
Well, we actually... Yeah, go on. That's good. A nice one. I don't think we've got the rights to play that for any longer than that.
I can pick up my guitar and play that if you want. As we all know, I now play guitar on the podcast.
You play guitar?
Yeah. Actually, Rob,
do you not listen? Right? Do you not listen to the podcast, Chris? Because last week I was... Okay.
I was in Seattle. Right. I was in Seattle. I had too many parties to go to. I always had parties to go to, business deals to do. I had to go.
The only reason that me and Rob both still have a job is because Chris didn't listen to the last podcast.
Very nice. I'll check that this afternoon then. That sounds interesting.
Listen, you hear that?
No, go on. Awesome.
Oh my goodness, mate. That is...
There you go.
That's fabulous, Rob. That really was. This has really gone up a level since I left.
Yeah.
I should go away more often, as you probably said during last week. That's great. But as I was going to say, yeah, Harbormaster, which I really love, and it's getting loads of updates at the moment, and I've missed a couple, so I'm about to download them. But apparently in the next update, they're going to include somehow or another a Pocket God, or some of the figures from Pocket God. I'm not quite sure how that kind of segues together, where it's just a little chap that's drowning, or, you know, you can run over. But that's kind of quite cool.
It'll definitely involve the characters drowning if the developers for Pocket God have anything to do with it, I'm sure.
It will. But that's quite interesting. We've not seen anything like that. I mean, I think games are starting, you know, it's quite an open world, the old iPhone development world, but I don't think we've seen much of that sort of cross-game promotion-y segue stuff yet.
Yeah,
I might be wrong.
It's sort of like kind of, you know, like bands in the 70s, you know, when they would just borrow each other's singer for a little while.
Yeah.
It's happening with games now.
It's going to be a super group, you mean?
Yeah.
It's going to form a super group.
It's like the gaming equivalent of Led Zeppelin.
There we go. There's a feature. There is a feature. Games should be combined? Yeah, what would be the best games to combine on the App Store?
I claim all the kudos for whatever traffic that feature generates, whether or not I write it, just based on the fact that I came up with it accidentally.
So, yeah, that's great. you have all the kudos.
Have you heard about Led Zeppelin? I think it was Melody Maker or someone like that ran a poll to kind of see who people thought would make the best, you know, super band. And so they had like a list of drummers you could choose, a list of guitarists, a list of singers, and a list of bassists. And depending on which ones came top of the poll, they would construct a super group. And the four people who won were all the four members of Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
That's quite cool.
I love that. If I was Led Zeppelin, I'd be telling that story nonstop.
What would you call the group?
Well, Led Zeppelin in that case, but I don't know. The Traveling Wilburys.
Exactly, Traveling Wilburys.
That was a good super group.
That was a not so super group. Oh dear. Cool, that's good. So Harbormaster, that's a good. I'm looking forward to that. The episodic. I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Have we covered those?
Yeah.
We should cover that more. They're downloading new levels all the time. It's very interesting. Interesting stuff.
Oh God. I think, yeah, but as I think we've already talked about, we don't really understand it.
Pocket God actually hurt. Something about a million. They sort of downloaded a million or made a million. That was a figure at Casual Connect. My notes from Casual Connect are so rubbish, I'm afraid, that I'm going to come in with sketchy figures throughout the whole of this. But somebody said something about Pocket God having, and the figure was a million, and Pocket God. So it was either it made a million, or they downloaded a million.
I don't know, but this is a good... We can link from this. Let's link. Yeah, because FAST, Fleet Air Superiority Training, which Fraser talked about a few weeks ago on the podcast,
it's
been available for 6 weeks, and it has generated $1 million.
Million dollars!
Wow. 6 weeks. That's pretty good going, isn't it?
How many dollars a week is that?
What?
Come on, Rob. Professor Rob, come on. Quickly.
125,000, isn't it? Something like that.
Go on. I don't know. I'm not a mathematician. You can be Carol.
We'll get that mathematician who confirmed that 10 out of 10 is the highest score to figure out what it is.
It's 133,000, maybe. It's something like that, isn't it? Yeah, 133.
I'm just going to stop talking for a few seconds and work it out.
It's 133,000. So, 6 weeks. 1 million divided by 6. Easy.
Okay.
That's
wrong, so really.
We don't just offer iPhone gaming news. We also offer basic arithmetic.
Is that wrong? 0.66, maybe. Oh God. Anyway, damn. My autism's been cured. I can no longer calculate numbers instantly. I used to do a great trick with matches.
Well, I'm not taking you to Vegas.
I used to drop a bit. I'm in Vegas and lost loads of money.
So,
indeed. So Fast was fastest seller then, or one of the fastest sellers. That's pretty good going.
I'm amazed that we actually failed to bring that sort of pun into announcing the story about being the fastest seller. We must be slipping.
We are, but it was they make a lot of money. They were that's SGN, isn't it?
Thanks.
That's the social. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
They were SGN. Yeah, that's right.
Sharvin Pashavar, the co-founder and CEO, and very rich man. He was on a panel, and they were talking about making an awful lot of money from their various kind of games. But they make a lot of money from their social games. It's probably not relevant. That's all businessy, so I won't bore you with it. But a million. They were quite they were quite happy with Fast because it's the first time they've gone on something that's just a game and doesn't have loads of that social stuff on it.
As well, they should have been. It's still probably my favourite game of the last few months on the iPhone. Apart from some of the things I've been playing, which I'll talk about later this week. But up until this week, Fast was still a firm favourite.
I love it. I love it when people say, that's probably one of the best... without doubt, that's probably one of... He's probably one of the best ever, top 10 people in... The sportsmen do that a lot at the moment. Tiger Woods, he's one of the best ever sportsmen ever in the top 10. You can't... I think it should be definitive. It's like, where is it? Fraser Fast.
I'm not entitled to be definitive. I've got to remain objective at all times. I can't make a fool of myself by wholeheartedly backing something only to then the following week claim that this next game is 10 times better. So
that's
one of the follies of being a journalist. Journalist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll let it go. Go on.
Cool. So, Rob, are you still doing arithmetic here? Or?
No, I stopped. I decided that Chris was probably right. Do you want to know more? Well, because it was 5, I thought a million divided by 5 would be 200,000, and then, but then there's one more, so then it was 20 divided by 6. I was sitting there, and my head was lolling, and then I thought, I'm
sure Chris is probably right. Right, okay, and on that note, I think I'll hand you back to Rob for the rest of the news.
What news?
More news.
And that's the news, isn't it?
That's the news.
And with that, that concludes the news. Rumours.
Rumours.
Please, if you would, take us down into the rumour mine with your themes.
Here we go.
Rumour. Rumour.
Are we about to slip down? I think so.
Apparently enough, I think we're going down into the rumour mine. I'm not segueing. There's loads of stuff in the rumour mine. It's packed. I've been away for a week. God knows what you discovered last week. But, it's packed, the rumour mine this week. Packed for Godly Move. Godly Move for dead canaries and rumours jutting out like big shiny objects. And the first of these jutting objects is curiously iPod Touch shaped, but with a little hole at the back. It's because it's the new iPod Touch cases are apparently have been spotted online, and it looks like they've got space for a camera and a mic hole in them, suggesting that maybe there's a camera and a mic on iPod Touch.
I think definitely yes.
Definitely yes.
Yeah.
Two thumbs up. Chip it away.
Yeah. There's no. I don't think I don't think Apple are gonna squirrel away their fun and games with cameras and whatnot for just the iPod 3GS or the iPhone 3GS. Oh my God! Listen to me.
There'll be no squirreling
for the iPhone. Sorry.
There's no squirreling at Apple. They don't squirrel.
No, they don't. They conceal.
Seal, exactly. They're more like, a stoat than a squirrel, I've always thought.
Yeah. I would say they're more like some sort of... No, I can't say that. I'll get sued. Never mind.
You really can't. Moving on. So, I spot something equally shiny here. Following on from the Monkey Island success, the rumours are, unsurprisingly, that there'll be further classic adventure games on the way, and I understand, Mr. Hearn, that you've spotted something that you think looks a bit like the King's Quest or Space Quest series. Is that correct?
Well, I didn't spot it really. It was Stu. This is one of those rumours that we basically fabricated. It's supposition.
It's a De Boers rumor. We've made it ourselves. I mean,
some rumors other people fabricate, and some we fabricate. And on this, in this case, Stuart Tredge fabricated a rumor that King's Quest and Space Quest could be coming to iPhone. The reason for that is because they've just come out on Steam. And that's really the extent of it. It's just to be aware, really, that kind of at some point, rocketing out of the rumor mine, you could see King's Quest and Space Quest. This is good news, of course, for retro gaming fans. Well, I wrote a column for The Escapist last week, as we do, the Pocket Gamer Report and The Escapist, all about the meaning of the word retro. And I decided in the column, I was thinking it would be controversial, but it turned out not to be, that retro just means rubbish. That retro is literally synonymous with rubbish. And if you call a game a retro game, you're really calling it a rubbish game. Because the reasoning being that the retro is the bad part, and like the modern is the good part. And the reason, for example, Monkey Island is such a good game is because it's not really retro. It stands up. It works by today's terms. And the same may be true of King's Quest and Space Quest, as they possibly slither out of the rumor mine later this year. And that's about that for that. So do you want to talk about the other rumor, Chris? Fraser?
There is one more thin rumor jutting out, 10.1 inch wide thin rumor that Fraser, I understand you've been chipping away at, archiving, yeah. Trying to unearth, brushing
it's,
the
it's,
dust
it's,
off.
It's a full 10 inches of rumor, actually.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a 10 inch touchscreen Apple tablet. The long since it's gone from being mythical to merely fabled this week, this device, because there have been some high-ranking analysts, and I believe some whispered words from manufacturers that Apple is in fact currently manufacturing or putting the finishing touches to a 10-inch tablet-style PC that will be apparently akin to a jumbo iPod Touch, and will retail for somewhere along the lines of a bottom-end MacBook or an iPhone not on contract sort of thing. So, who knows? What could the gaming ramifications of that be? It might be something that's better for playing more involved Apple games on an Apple device at home, or, I don't know, maybe there's going to be some more fantastic touchscreen innovations to look forward to that developers will be able to get their teeth into. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think Apple has seen gaming and seen it's made a massive dent already into the gaming world, and thought, hang on, you know, why can't we do a similar thing?
Yeah,
you know, do a similar thing to the PC console space as well. And I think while it's got the momentum, then yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all to have that we see bigger screen gaming shenanigans going on.
I hope you're
will
right.
It be iPhone compatible? I'd wonder. I don't know if we'd be able to get Steam games, but
would be cool if it was iPhone compatible. If you could use the iPhone as a controller and that as a screen for more than one people. More than one people? More than one person.
One people.
that would be pretty good, actually, yeah. That's an excellent point. Well, I was thinking as well, could you have, you know, if you've got multi-touch, could you have multi-touch that was, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 or 10 inputs, do you think?
There's
to the theoretical limit.
It's not just two that you can have on the iPhone. I think on the iPhone already you can have upwards of 3 or 4.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
I thought it was 2.
No, I don't think so. There's certainly various games that make use of more than 2. In fact, there's a game I was looking at for the App Store the other week where it's, I can't remember what it's called, it's sort of like a tank battling game where two people can play on the same iPhone using two hands on opposite ends of the device. So that seems to confirm that it can handle more than two.
There's the proof.
If you look at this football, the virtual controllers with little joypads in there, you've obviously got two directions for movement at least, and then you've got a couple of buttons. So you're looking at three there at any one time, I'd suggest.
Yeah.
You can only simultaneously have two points of contact at the same time, so they've got like real football. For example,
sorry, yeah, I'm being thick. Yeah. All right, what do you want? It's fine.
Shall we leave the river mine? I'm gasping for a post.
I think we're getting fractious down here. The air is running out. It's time to go. Let's don't touch that thing in the corner, and let's get out.
Right, we're out.
No, what we did last week, though, and I think we should do it every week, is we should play outro music as well to indicate our journey, the other leg of our journey.
Yeah, we should do. We should have that, definitely. Okay. Can you put that in?
Rimmer. Rimmer.
That's the sound of the lift.
Going up.
Yeah. That's the lift music, if you like.
Floor two, lingerie. Ding, ding. Sorry. Oh, dear. Maybe I'm a bit jet lagged. Who knows?
Who knows?
Yes. Yes. Rob's had enough of me already today. It's great. Welcome home. Yes. So, are we on to, you playing?
Yeah, we are. We're on to what we're playing. I know what I'm going to talk about, and I suspect you two probably do as well. Who wants to go first?
Me. I'll go first.
Go on.
All right. I've been playing a game called Bumper Stars, which is have I stolen one of your games that you were going to talk about? No.
Right, I just know.
Basically, if Dredge, you imagine a game of pinball, but where you don't use a ball, you use a beaver. So it's pin beaver, if you like. Where essentially you've got the screen, and in the centre you've got a little round fat beaver, and then you can peggle style, you can point in the direction that you want him to be released in, with a little arrow indicating his path of movement. And then he ricochets off various sort of pinball-style bouncy things on the screen.
Just a second. Can I just clarify that when you said to peggle there, you didn't actually mean to...
No. I have to be very clear about that. Nothing to do with prices. All I mean is that in peggle, you pick the direction that you're going to release the ball in. And when you do that, you just kind of track your finger along the screen and watch an arrow... follow your movements, and it's the same sort of style of control for Bumper Stars as well. And once you release, he fires off in all different directions, and the aim of the game is to collect all of the fruit.
It's just so random. Yeah, go on.
It does sound random. It's much simpler than I'm making it sound. Like on the screen, you've got the things that you can ricochet against, and you've got fruit. And the aim is to try and use the ricocheting elements wisely in order to bounce into the fruit and collect it. But you've only got, I think, maybe three or four shots per level, but at least five or six bits of fruit, which are scattered about. So the challenge is to try and get more than one bit of fruit per go. And it gets
increasingly difficult. Is this at all like that game Digital Chocolate did with... I know this is a Digital Chocolate game. No, not Digital. What's the game Real did with the camel? Do you remember that?
I don't know that one.
Circus Extreme.
Circus Extreme. Does it sound like that? Am I off?
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. I've not
played
that.
Do you have momentum? Is there inertia effects? So after you press fire, you basically does your beaver kind of gradually roll to a halt?
Professor Rob, I can confirm that there is centrifugal inertia at work here. He does gradually. Roll to a halt, but he's obviously every time he bumps into something that gives him his bounciness renewed vigor, and he bounces all the more merrily about the screen.
So sounds like Circus Extreme then.
Yeah, it's good. It's very good. But that's really all there is to it. So I'm not going to talk too much more about it. In fact, not at all. I'm going to talk about another game called Mevo. I'm not exactly sure how you pronounce that, but it's really cool. It's got really interesting sort of. Solid, blocky, kind of colourful cartoon graphics. And I'm not quite clear on the story. There's a backstory that it starts off with, and it seems to revolve around something to do with a band having to save the universe or having to collect magic to make the universe good again, or I don't know, something along those lines. But basically it's sort of like Patapon on the PSP in that it's a rhythm action game, but the on-screen action is controlled by your ability to perform a rhythm action sequence. So in this case, it's actually like a platforming game where your little character's running along, jumping and navigating various different obstacles and whatnot. And as long as you're keeping in time to the music with the rhythm and action style gameplay, then he traverses his terrain successfully and doesn't fall over and doesn't harm himself or anything like that. And if you suck and you've got dreadful rhythm, then he's all over the shop, falling on his face and generally getting into all sorts of different scrapes.
Which one are you, Fraser, of those two cases?
I've got the solid rhythm of a drum.
I guess so.
Yeah, I'm tight. Yeah, I'm honestly, I'm awesome at this game. Unlike Flight Control, because flight control's unpredictable, and I can't deal with that. There's too many variables. But in this game, I know what's happening. It's just a steady thump. So yeah, it's cool.
Are you worried about the people on the airplanes in flight control?
I am. I do. I wonder whether or not the air hostess is bringing them enough drinks to keep their tempers down of the fact that I'm making them circle the screen.
See,
I think
exactly. I think they should do that. And I think they should have, like, when you crash, there should be some like news flash up and like a horrific disaster. Just make you feel more, add a bit of extra pressure to it.
Yeah,
that's one for freak firemen.
Possibly quite controversial, but yeah.
At the moment, especially yeah.
Yeah.
So, I've just taken like 4 long haul flights in like 2 in the last week.
See, if ever you do take long haul flights, though, you always. Like, no matter how secure a flyer you are, I always feel like on the last flight, you do feel a little bit like you might be tempting fate a little bit if all the other flights have gone really smoothly, you know?
I had a lot of turbulence around Minneapolis.
Really?
I met some very nice Republicans, actually. It was a very strange experience. Anyway,
I won't
segue to politics. Yeah, cool.
That's what I've been playing, both of which have been lots of fun. So yeah.
Excellent. Who's next?
Go on, Chris.
All right, I'll be very quick. I played Grunts a bit. I'm not going to go about it for loads because you've talked about it before. I'm a bit confused about it because it looks like it's going to be cannon fodder and then it isn't. And so far, I'm really rubbish at it. I get getting shot all the time, so I'm going to have to put some more time into that before I give it a proper review. But it does look really sweet and stuff. The thing I've been playing, games I've been playing more, is Toki Tori, which was in that top 10 best rated games, which is kind of... It's kind of like a bit like an old school platformer chucking. It's quite kind of simple, really. You got this little character, looks a bit like a set of New Zealand Story, a little yellow ducky type thing, and you've got to move around the screen. It's kind of like, it's like a puzzle and a platformer, but it's more puzzle and platformer, really. And get a few special powers like teleport and ice ray and the ability to build bridges, and you've got to kind of work out the best way to get around screens to collect your eggs. There you go. Slightly random, but it's really nicely put together, and it's really really well polished. I really enjoy playing it, so it's quite it's unlike anything else I've yet. I haven't seen anything much like that on the Knapp store so far. So quite like that. What I got more addicted to, which probably marks me out as some kind of saddo, is I think it's Defender Chronicles. I'm looking at it now on my iPod, and it just says D Chronicles. It's a Chillingo game, and it's kind of a tower defense game, but it's kind of side on, and it's got loads of role playing elements in it. So you've kind of got a hero, and then you've got lots of different units who build bases, and you can keep upgrading them and give them special weapons and items, and you're kind of fighting against this horde of orcs and flying things and little weird little balls who kind of trundle up you. And it's all wrapped up in this Defender Chronicles. It's all wrapped up in this quite hardcore RPG feel, and it's quite compelling. I don't know why I still haven't fallen out of love with tower defense games, which I kind of thought I would have done by now, because it is essentially the kind of same thing, isn't it? You build up your base and shooting at stuff, but and I think it's really good. Defender Chronicles is probably my favorite thing at the moment. It's consuming more time than anything else, although when I get the Harbor Master downloads, new levels, I might switch back to that. So that's me.
Right then, so that just leaves me. I've been playing Monkey Island. The Secret of Monkey Island Special Edition, which started off as an XBLA game, and then to, I think, everyone's surprise, it was suddenly just there in the App Store. We were lucky because Stu was up. He's got a newborn baby, and he was up at 5 in the morning, and he happened to check LucasArts' Twitter feed, and they said Monkey Island's out, and he checked, and sure enough it was. So yeah, I spent all day Thursday just playing that and reviewing it, and God, it's awesome. I don't know what to say. Have you both played Monkey Island before?
I played, it was in the back in the 90s. It was a long time ago. But is it exactly the full game? Is it the full, it's just
the
same
full
game?
I'll explain. It's the full game, but it's updated for XBLA. In the first place, updated for XBLA. So it's got all of the voices that were from the third and fourth game in the series. Dominic Carmasso played Guybrush and all the other people.
Yeah.
So it's So what they've done is they've got the first game, but they've just reskinned it with these kind of hand-drawn graphics that are kind of more in keeping with the graphical style of Curse of Monkey Island and Return to Monkey Island. And they've given them all the voices and new music, so it just all looks a lot nicer.
Okay.
And it's basically an exact port, like obviously at lower resolution of the XBLA game. But at any moment during the game, and literally at any moment, you just brush two fingers across the screen, and it reverts to the old, original kind of 1990s version.
Oh, that's a nice
and it's amazing to behold. I was playing it. Susie was sitting next to me, and I showed her it, and she just kept just leaning across and just doing it, just to see the spectacle of it. It's just an amazingly nice, neat little bit of.
One quick thing, because you obviously are a massive fan of the game, and me too. But for people who haven't ever heard of Secret Monkey Island, which there might well be some younger folk out there,
what sort of
game is it? Praise has got what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, sure. It's a point-and-click adventure game. It's one of the very first. What you do is you have sort of still screens. I mean, they scroll along, but they're basically like painted screens, and they've got items in them. And you play this kid, Guybrush Threepwood. You click on a point on the screen with the cursor, and he moves towards it. You click on an object, he picks it up, he puts it in his inventory, and combines it and uses it with things. So, for example, you might pick up a box of matches, and then you might a bit later on find a candle, and you just use matches with candle, and they'd light it. And it's that kind of game, and all the puzzles work in that way until the end of the game. The story of it, and this is what makes it really good. At the time, what made it good was that it was the first really good point-and-click adventure game, and these things. But what makes it really good now, what makes it stand up to stand the test of time, is the writing, which is just completely first rate. It's a really endearing character, this kid Guybrush Threepwood, and it's just really good. He's good, the dialogue's good, a lot of the gameplay elements. I mean, there are things that, like, people who've played Monkey Island before and people who've just been hanging around the video game industry before will have heard of things like insult sword fighting and stuff like that. I am rubber, you are glue, and how appropriate, you fight like a cow. And these are real, like, video game catchphrases. Yeah,
so it's a bit of history and an awesome adventure game, so you really have to own it, don't you? I think that's what you said in your number 10 out of 10 review. You've basically made it an essential-to-own title, haven't you, really?
In my review, I went to town, because this is something I've always wanted to do. And obviously, like, I like the game, but I don't, you know, I'm not goggle-eyed about it. Obviously, as I have said in the review, I think it may not suit kind of modern gamer sensibilities, because it requires you to kind of walk around a lot, and the puzzle, like, nowadays games are actually really simplistic. Like, at the moment, I'm on the Xbox 360, I'm playing Prince of Persia. You literally can't die in that game. Like, if you're about to die, someone just rescues you every single time. It's impossible to die. That's what the way games are now. They really kind of hold your hand all the way through. Whereas this is from a slightly older generation of games, when they were a bit more demanding. So, you know, if you're kind of young and impatient, then you might not enjoy it. But that would be your fault, is the point I'm trying to get across. If you don't like Monkey Island because you don't have the patience for it, that's your fault. It's not the game's fault. It's an absolute masterpiece, mainly for the writing. All the voice acting throughout is brilliant. It's just, as a production, it's just a great production. And I think it's obvious that it came from XBLA first, because it's got that budget. You know, it's like the voice acting, you can tell, has had a hell of a lot of money spent on it.
Although they might make more money on the iPhone, who knows? I mean, there's a lot of...
Yeah, very, very possibly.
That
would
be an interesting thing to find out.
I would.
Yeah.
Cool. But well, that's... I'm going to download it.
Yeah, I do. And as I've been talking, I've published a story on the site from John Jordan saying Monkey Island is the highest new App Store entry. So it's gone right in at number one. It's massively popular. Well, I don't know about number one, but it's high.
Can we get our mathematicians to verify that number one is the highest number on the App Store? That could go
I'm not sure if it is at number one. But my review was the arsiest review I've ever written. Well,
number four.
I think it's wankiest review I've ever written. In my review,
something, because quite frankly, you've written some very wanky reviews over time. So
I'm a wanky person, extremely wanky. In this review, I talk about P.G. Woodhouse, Chekhov. It's all in there.
We will. Don't worry. That'll be overdubbed. Okay. You won't even be able to hear me speaking at this point, because there'll be so much of it going on.
Fantastic.
We are at the end.
We are.
Um, So have you got a music competition for us, Fraser?
Well, no, because once again, our devoted listeners have universally failed to provide me with the correct answer, as I knew they would. But I'm going to force them to listen to the competition again and resubmit their answers.
Or I
to
think,
even
submit Fraser,
answers in the first place.
I think that if they don't get it this week, we should change music and keep the rollover effect, but change music, because otherwise we'd be here for years.
Yeah, no. We got the one last week, actually.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll shut up.
The one that we started last week, nobody got the answer for.
All right, I'll shut up.
So yeah, no, we'll give it one more week for this one. But I think you're right. I don't think we should roll it over any more than two in a row, kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but yeah, we'll give it one more go, and here it is.
So should we say goodbye now? Is that are we done then? Is there anything else?
Yeah, well, that's the usual sign off. Which is here. Go to pocketgamer.co.uk to read our writings, news, reviews, and so on. Previews this week. We've done two previews of Gangstar, so check them out. Go to iTunes, give us a rating, and follow us on Twitter. And apart from that, I can't think of anything else to tell you to do.
If you can think of any other way in which you could support us morally, financially, emotionally, please.
Send me sweets. Yeah. Send me Mars bars. Nothing by Nestle, though.
Nothing by Nestle.
apart from that, I think it's good. It's goodbye from me. It's goodbye from Chris.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from Fraser.
Cheers.